morning. Today is Monday, January the 7th. Joining us this morning is Eureka Police Chief Steve Watson.
Good morning, sir.
Brian. Nice to see you again.
And you too.
Which implies, haven't seen you in a while.
Did he get taller since the last time I was in
here? Better good looking. No, wait, that's redundant, isn't it? Better, never mind. Smoother. Oh, let's see if we can find our, why do we say that, and just kind of, oh. Now, there's a couple quasi-military ones there. Since you're kind of a quasi-military kind of guy, let's see if we can get. You play chess?
Not very well.
Oh, okay, or often. I'll save checkmate for somebody else.
My 14-year-old got into it for a couple of years. We had a few spirited games.
Yeah, and then Dad gave up?
I tell him Dad let him win.
Yeah, right. Dad tried to do that with basketball, too, with me. Didn't quite. All right, here we go. Cock and bull story. Where did a fanciful tale get the name cock and bull story?
Are you expecting me to answer that?
I thought you might have some kind of an idea.
A rhetorical question.
It could. Apparently it is.
Why don't you go ahead and enlighten our audience?
All right. The expression is a derisive allusion to the fables of Aesop and others in which cocks moralize and bulls debate. Pretty simple. Did you read Aesop's fables to the...
I'm sure I did.
How about Grimm's Fairy Tales? The real version.
Not the movie version?
I think the movie was kind of based more on the real than some of the softened down ones.
I think over the years I've probably read a few of them.
Yeah. These guys got the real Hansel and Gretel, real Hansel and Gretel and all the Grimm's Fairy Tales, the real ones, Billy Goat Gruff, and I mean, it was like...
What had to be going on in that guy's mind to create those kind of stories? What did he experience as
a
child?
Yeah, that's what I was saying, yeah. He was purging something out of his system. Oh, we got a couple of interesting things to talk about. Last week we heard the news story about, I don't know what you call him, but the guy that's in charge of the trails safety. I know there's a position. And you're not going to tell me, are you? It's my chance to look stupid.
It's your opportunity to shine.
Good. Trails officer. How's that?
You mean the park's waterfront ranger?
Sure. In charge of the parks also?
Yes, all the city parks within the city of Eureka, as well as the waterfront trail system.
Now
in the waterfront area in general.
In the old days, that would have been a squadron. All the activity at Sequoia Park, right? With all the drugs and down the duck pond. And so now you can handle it all with one guy?
We actually have two. One is Measure Z funded. So Dennis Gagnon came over from the sheriff's office. We're thrilled to have him. I think he's a perfect fit for the position. Really is able to understand that balance that's needed between maintaining order and enforcement, but also the relationships and real people. And, you know, let's face it, many of the homeless tend to congregate along those areas. So he runs to them on a regular basis, and I think he's able to, again, make that balance between enforcement but also outreach, establishing relationships, and gaining voluntary cooperation.
And the other one is just a regular?
We created a rotational position that started this July 1st within the department, where officers that were interested could apply, and then they're assigned for 2 or 3 years before they rotate out to patrol or another investigation assignment.
So
we have two of them now, and they split the week. We have 7 days a week coverage.
Which would make sense. I mean, if it's good for one day, it's good for every day, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Now, the news story last week was indicating, hooray, hooray, X number of felons arrested, X number of situations dealt with, X number of ounces? Meth? Pounds of meth.
What story are you referring to?
I don't know. It was like, attaboy, 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 and I'm thinking, wait a minute, there was a concern this was going to become a highway for drug folks and for transient folks and for those trying to escape, like felon folks. And while we're applauding the great results, it's also confirming that this isn't necessarily something you want to just kind of wander on and let your guard down.
You know, I recall now, we did a couple press releases where he made two separate arrests for possession of controlled substance for sale. The takeaway shouldn't be that The trail is unsafe. We have people that are, you know, dealing all over the county, obviously, and that's just one of the locations down there. But and I'm not sure exactly. I'd have to go back and look where the actual arrests occurred. They tend to be more the more populated area. Along
more. But this was more of a cumulative time. After the first month, or after the there was an extended period.
Yeah, I think it was his first
time.
Month.
Yeah.
Yeah, within the first month.
So is that just kind of like pulling the covers back a little bit for the rest of us to look and see how much stuff is going on?
Well, you know, we've been active down along the trail since it was created, and you know, we don't advertise or feel the need to advertise every time we make an arrest. You know, it's just an ongoing, you know, effort. And so you know, most of the reports that I've heard is that people are really enjoying the trail.
That's what I've heard also, kind of as a balancing to the other stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that sometimes you might find someone sitting on a bench somewhere. It could be anywhere in the city, and you know, shooting heroin into their veins or whatever. And that's a symptom of a much larger issue that our nation is experiencing right now. And it's frustrating, but that shouldn't be. That's not something we want people to have to experience, you know, every day. And certainly the people that are addicted to these substances like methamphetamine and heroin, we as a society and a community have got to find more ways for those that are willing to get the help that they need and the treatment that they need.
Is there still a backlog, a waiting time, if you will, here?
There is not enough.
What would it take?
Residential beds and treatment options.
Is there a number that's projected out that would address the challenge?
I haven't personally heard a specific number, but it's many more.
It's 819.
We know you love Easy Radio, singing out loud, really out loud, to your favorite songs. But what about when you're traveling out of the area? Easy Radio can be heard throughout the area on 910 AM and 104.1 FM in Curry and Del Norte counties. And if you're in Humboldt County, 980 AM. That's Easy Radio, 910 AM in Brookings, 104.1 FM in Del Norte and Curry County, and 980 AM in Humboldt County. Good radio is easy.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 824. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Eureka Police Chief Steve Watson. Got over that interim thing there pretty quick, didn't you?
Yeah, I was pretty happy about that, as you can imagine.
Oh. Have you been able to put in play some of the items, some of the issues, some of the directions that you were hoping for, or is it more of an evolution over a period of time when funding's available and that kind of stuff?
You know, just the other day, we were looking back over what we were able to accomplish as a department in the last 12 to 18 months, and it was surprisingly a lot. We got a lot done. We have a lot more to do, clearly, but a number of major projects and goals were achieved, which is a credit to the people that I have working by my side and around me, and really some support from the city manager as well, as a number of these things took his support, and so I was really happy about that. So I feel like we've made some real progress, but in our industry, it's a continual thing. You can never let off the pedal.
Have you been able to check off a couple of areas, or are they just taking different forms now?
I mean, I don't have the list in front of me, but for example, we were able to bring back two community service officers, basically the same positions we used to call our police services officers, which is a huge boon for the community in terms of our responsiveness to certain kinds of calls for service, but also our officers that are working patrol that can be free to focus on more major crimes.
Don't have to monkey around with that kind of stuff.
You know, other position modifications, we just got authorization to hire a second evidence technician. This one's going to focus primarily on digital evidence management because of the increasing needs today with body-worn camera footage, dispatch audio logs, photographs, and the list goes on and on.
Oh, so it's stuff coming in. It's not them doing the checking out what's on computers and doing the whole cyber fraud and that kind of thing.
Well, we're also one of the only departments that has the training and equipment to extract data from cell phones and other electronic devices in a way that was withstand chain of custody and the court process in cases as well. So that is part of that job description. But with the requirements of the law today, you know, you have to disclose or discover that information along pretty much the same time as you forward the actual criminal cases and reports and investigations to the district attorney's office, which then goes to the defense counsels and so on and so forth as you work your way to arraignment, prelim, and so on and so forth. And that's a monumental undertaking because of the volumes of data. Well, someone has to do that. And we had senior detectives that were stuck doing that chore for a long time for a lack of anyone else. And now we have somebody that's going to be full-time, be able to be an expert on these areas and make sure that information gets over to the district attorney's office in a timely manner.
One person?
A lot of work for one person. And there'll be some cross-trained people as well. But, you know, when you're a smaller agency, you don't have the luxury of having whole units dedicated to things like this. And then on top of that, there's changes to the law where more body-worn camera footage and confidential personnel records are now subject to disclosure, and someone's going to have to pick up that slack as well. And that can involve a lot of work that people don't realize. You have to redact a lot of information, including blurring video so that it doesn't identify certain persons. That's expensive technology. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, that's right. You can't just put a little white out over the...
No, doesn't work that way.
Kind of like the still photos, huh?
Right.
Would it make sense, Steve, with the passage or the extension of Z, to have two or three of these types of positions funded for all the departments in the area? I mean, can you imagine what Brian or Bill in Arcata and Fortuna, I mean, they're not going to have much of a shot at having somebody with this kind of specialization, but it doesn't mean that Arcata and Fortuna areas don't have the need. Or, you know, if you're only tapping, say, 60% of what the workload could be, is that what the Z monies could be used for, or is that not under the purview or the definition of that?
No, I think it would certainly would follow or what the intention of Measure Z, or now Measure O, as it's called.
You do it one more time, you know what you got. A zoo? Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, okay.
They don't have near the volume that Eureka does. And so I don't know what their staffing capacity is. That'd be a decision they'd have to obviously assess. But certainly things like that that forward the function of public safety in the county is what the money's intended for. Now, I think the voters probably are thinking more boots on the ground primarily. But again, to make a department work, you've got to have a whole team assembled with different areas of expertise.
Has that first level of community safety, whether it's actual or perceived, pretty much been addressed with the first 2 years of those dollars?
I'm not sure exactly what you're asking. I guess you're asking, is the major thrust of Measure Z/O, which is public safety, are those tax dollars being ultimately realized the way that they were intended?
Yeah, and that the community feels pretty, obviously we feel positive enough because it was passed, but I'm wondering if it's now an opportunity to go into some second level things, like some of this digital stuff or the mental health stuff that, you know, if you had asked most people in Eureka, what makes you feel most uncomfortable? I would suggest the people carrying on their own conversations are high on the list. Well, if that's not apprehension, that's more mental health or related in those areas. Could those dollars be taken over to that direction? I mean, if you were able to pull 12 people off, okay, now you know what my question is when we come back. Fine, it's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Eureka Police Chief Steve Watson. Go ahead, you can be playing on your phone there for a couple seconds. You celebrity type guy, you.
See, it's turned off.
No, it's not.
Oops.
Yeah. There was the Christmas tree picture. Talk Shop's presented by, even when it's not as goofy as it is this morning, CDH Painting, Redeck, along with Murphy's Markets and Humboldt Termite and Pest Control. Steve, before the break, we were talking a little bit about second-level funding of or utilizing Measure Z, whatever it's called, monies, for things like mental health capacity, things of that nature that would, if the community could have 15 or 20 of the wandering wounded taken off the street, so people aren't having that feeling of uncomfortable. Would that be a viable utilization of Measure Z for all of the things associated with achieving that?
The short answer is yes, with some caveats. The funding is every year more and more of it's encumbered. When you commit to fund certain positions, let's say a police officer position, a sheriff's deputy position, you got to have some level of commitment to that. You can't just go 2 years later, hey, that's great that you hired this guy or this girl for this position, but now we're going to take the funding away. Every year it becomes a more and more of a challenge, I think, for the committee and board of supervisors to decide what projects to fund. I certainly still to this day would like to see more funded in the city of Eureka, given that Eureka accounts for about half of the funding. Last year we were able to pick up that Parks Waterfront Ranger in addition to our MIST program, which I was very grateful for. And we do, as part of the MIST program, have some money set aside for DHHS as MIST, the Mobile Intervention and Services Team component, for rapid rehousing, detox, type of situations.
But those are short term rather than long term or ongoing that some of these folks might require.
Well, that funding is designed to help get them towards long term, but the first step is you've got to get them off the streets and into some kind of stable environment. Some people need to go through detox in order, to get to where they need to be. Some funding for that, if it was done right, targeted in the right kind of program, I think could do some good. But it takes a lot of money, even for just one individual. And that's where the challenge is. Is that where the best use of the funding, looking at the big picture? I certainly think there's a place for that, again, if it's put in the right type of program.
Does the state recognize any responsibility in this, or is that another one of these step away and they let the local jurisdictions have the funding while they put in the requirements or the standards that have to be adhered to?
I think the state is starting to. There still is not enough money that's trickling down to local governments, especially in a more isolated rural county like Humboldt. However, there's been some funding. I think Senator McGuire has lobbied hard for some funding related to homeless programs and the opioid epidemic. And so it's my understanding there is some funding coming our way, which is a nice step in the right direction. But a lot more is needed. And the challenge for municipalities like the city of Eureka is we don't have the budget or the funding sources to deal with these issues directly ourselves. All the funding for these kind of programs tends to channel from the state or federal government through ultimately the county. The county holds the purse strings and then it gets distributed out from there versus, I would love to see what we could do in addition to partnering with the county, what we could do if we were able to get a significant chunk of funding.
Direct funding.
Right. You know, we might be able to cut through some of the red tape and do more good and more timely in certain areas where there's gaps.
Is there a lot of red tape, or is it personnel that get involved? You've got five people dealing with an issue versus one person. Is that the kind of red tape that you're referencing?
Well, I think it's a complex, you know, issue. You have a lot of competing programs, you know, both nonprofit and, you know, as well as county and state programs. You know, everyone wants to protect their house. So sometimes there's that old silo mentality that takes place. And I've been in a number of meetings and committees or whatnot over the last few years. I've at least begun to see some recognition of the need to break down these silos and for these programs to work together better, you know, with the partnership and collaboration. But I think we have a long ways to go, realistically. There's a lot of good intentions and very caring people, but we still need to find a way to work together synergistically, I think, and more effectively. I still think there's a lot of waste that's taking place. But it's not always really easy to identify exactly where and how you fix it.
You've been to a lot of meetings synergistically. They don't teach that at cop school. Right?
Well, except for the synergistic effect between certain controlled substances and alcohol, such as prescription medications.
I thought it was impacting or relating or, yeah, synergistic. Is symbiotic on the list too?
It's probably somewhere in there.
Yeah. Oh, too much fun. What kind of sense do you have about the drug picture in the area? Sheriff Hansel was on last Thursday and had his impressions of what's going on out, kind of out in the hinterland, so to speak. Has Eureka seen any appreciable relief in the drug stuff since legalization? Have you seen more? What kind of read do you have after 12 months?
Yeah, I'm not ready to say that we're seeing any kind of substantial relief yet. I mean, you look at the number of seizures that the Drug Task Force is getting, which is a credit, and that is a collaborative effort, by the way, not just with the county sheriff's office that kind of heads it up, but also all the agencies that participate, including you know, Arcata, CHP, I think Fortuna, District Attorney's Office, EPD. But they're doing some great work, but the size of the seizures that they're getting, meth and heroin, for instance, are just crazy compared to historically around here. And 5 or 10 pounds of heroin may not seem a lot sometimes when you're looking at hundreds of pounds of seizures at the border, but for a community the size of Humboldt, with 130-something thousand residences, that is huge. And that's a combination of their good work, yes, but also the amount of drugs that are out there and the number of consumers that we have. And so there's still a lot of work to be done, but I am cautiously optimistic about the focus that's now coming on the pharmaceutical companies that have fueled the opioid epidemic to a large degree, and disreputable doctors that may have been involved, which, again, is a small segment, but the overprescription of these medications.
Do we have a lot of that in our area?
There was an article that came out about a year ago, I think, that was talking about how many more prescriptions there were than people in the county. So that gives you a picture right there that there was and is an issue that needs to be addressed.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
Hey, Humboldt County. The folks at Fly Humboldt want to say thank you for all your support. The new Los Angeles flight is a great success. The planes have been full, so book now for your holiday travel. Don't miss getting a flight home for the holidays. And just in case you haven't heard, we'll have direct flights to Denver starting June 7th. You'll only be a couple hours away from the Mile High City whenever you want to go. This makes connecting to the world even easier. Get more information at flyhumboldt.org or email us at info@flyhumboldt.org. Happy holidays.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Steve Watson. Steve, a little bit of attention, Murder Mountain, Magic Mountain, whatever we want to call this, the reference to activities going on up in the hills, you know, in the old days, I guess, which was before this time last year. Yeah, there were places you didn't want to go to. It didn't matter if you were a good guy or a bad guy. You just flat out didn't want to go to. Are you sensing that there's been some changes in those areas with the impacts that's going on, or are we seeing more of a concentration, maybe less players, but those that are players are a little bit nastier?
You know, obviously that area is outside of my jurisdiction and where my firsthand experience and knowledge is. Certainly the movie, let's start with the movie, definitely, you know, the cinematography, for instance, the production values were pretty high, but I think that it was very unfair to local law enforcement as a whole, not saying that we're perfect or we don't always look back and go, okay, maybe we would have done this or that a little differently, but I think it was an unfair portrayal for a group of men and women that are very dedicated and go into areas that are of high danger willingly every single day. They're not afraid to do their job. And definitely it was your typical, you know, kind of Hollywood production, so to speak, where there's a lot of embellishment of the actual facts in there. But cutting through all of that noise, the movie Murder Mountain did serve to illustrate a couple very real ongoing problems that we have in our community, not just Humboldt, but I'm sure Del Norte, Mendocino, Trinity has some similar issues, and that is human trafficking. We just touched on that a little bit, but associated with the illegal marijuana industry out there, and vulnerable, especially young women that come from outside the area, aren't familiar with the area, no one knows where they are, they go to work in these fields, and they're vulnerable out there. That's a fact. And unfortunately, some people end up missing. Now, they keep showing missing person posters like, if you come to Humboldt, you're going to disappear and never be seen again. Yeah, we have a lot of missing persons, but the great majority of those, there's reasons for that. They're found later on. But there are some that are not. I'm sure there's bodies in those hills, so to speak, that we don't even know about right now. And then the violence with the illegal industry. And again, I want to emphasize the illegal industry. You know, it is steeped in violence. And I remember a couple years ago, I think the former sheriff had looked at and analyzed the homicides he had in the county. And the great majority of those were connected to the illegal cannabis industry. And that's been true in places like Colorado and other locations. There's a lot at stake, a lot of money involved. And then when you have a culture that's been used to being above the law, outside the law for a long, long time, and then you have an isolated rural area, you have a lot of challenges, and those are going to be a challenge to address. It's a monumental undertaking. But I'm hopeful and I'm hopeful that the sheriff's office will make progress on that.
5 years, 10 years, 20 years, multiple generations.
I hope 5 years from now, looking back, we'll have seen the industry to begin to balance out. That we'll have taken a big bite out of these illegal operations, whether it's civilly or criminally.
Both ways
using
work.
Using both tools.
Yeah.
To cut them down.
Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
See everybody tomorrow.